And all God's people said, Amen. Thank you, choir. One of my favorite songs. It's certainly good to be with all of you today. And I had the email from Pastor Paul asking if I would be able to come and share with you and worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ together today. And it's always such a privilege for me to be able to come and be with the Brush Hill people, and today with Madison joining in. It's a great blessing. I think about, as I always come into the sanctuary, I think about all of the forefathers that's gone on before you in the building of this sanctuary. It's an inspiring place to worship, and when I walk into that door back there, it's just almost instantaneously a sense of worshiping our Almighty God with the height of the ceilings and the beauty of the sanctuary and the glory that people have experienced God in the past and in the present. And so today, as we come together, I'd like for us to think about how God has certainly inspired us, and as He has inspired people in our previous generations. And so here we are today. Here we are today, getting back to real life. I remember at the beginning of November, whenever we began to look forward to Thanksgiving. And people this year seem to not only look forward to Thanksgiving, but, geez, a couple of weeks into November, we had all sorts of lighting for Christmas. It was amazing to me that Thanksgiving and Christmas sort of came together this year. Well, this morning, I'd like for us to read together from the book of Matthew, the Gospel, chapter 2, beginning with verse 13. And if you feel like it, stand with me as we read together, giving honor and dignity to the Word of God. I believe that passage is found in the in your pew Bibles, number 1498. Would you stand? When they had gone, that is, the wise men who had come to worship Jesus, when they had gone, and the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Now, when they had come to worship, they had planned to go back and tell Herod, you remember, where the young child was born, but they determined they'd go back a different way. When they had gone, and the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt. You see, it was so important that he do it immediately, that they leave where they were immediately. He left in the night to go to Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. When Herod realized he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard from Ramah, weeping in great mourning. Rachel wept for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel. For those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town named Nazareth, so it's fulfilled what was said in the prophets, he will be called a Nazarene. May the Lord bless to you the reading of his holy word. Let us pray. God our Father, inspire us today. Challenge us with our lives because we're here, we're yours, and we wait patiently to hear from you, to know where you are leading us, and to develop our lives and grow our lives to be more like you daily. Bless this congregation, bless Madison congregation. We ask you, Lord, to work mightily in the midst of your people where they are today, and we'll give you praise and honor and glory in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. I entitled the message today, Back to Real Life. I'm thinking about that after Christmas, a few days like this, it's usually we're getting back to things as normal. For the last few weeks, as you remember, we have been sidetracked or we have been had a diversion from where the things have normal. Where things are normal in our lives. We've been diverted from thinking about all of the difficulties and all of these things that have caused us to have heartache and pain and suffering until we began to look and our thoughts are diverted to the glory of the coming of Jesus. I love Christmas better than any time of the year. It's the greatest time in all the world because it's the reason, Jesus is the reason that we come to celebrate. And so back in November, we began to think in terms of celebrating the birth of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ because he's the one who's come to bring change for us. And so for the last few weeks, our thoughts have been diverted from all of the issues that have been sapping us of our strength and our energy. But now, since we have come to today and we all of the gift buying that we did and all of the meal preparation and all of the parties that we shared and all the things that we did, perhaps travel to visit with family time at Christmas, it's over with. Christmas has been experienced. And so today we look to something new, New Year. And so Christmas is behind us, we say, and we have felt a sense of letdown. Do any of you feel a sense of letdown? I was in the local pharmacy yesterday, and I looked around, and I thought, where are all of the Christmas cards and decorations and things that we used to see in that pharmacy at Christmas? They were all gone except for a few cards and a few rolls of gift wrapping paper. And I heard the two ladies behind the counter saying, you know, I really don't like Valentine's. And I looked around and there were hearts and there were boxes of candy and there were cards. Everybody's getting ready to celebrate Valentine's. Christmas is over. And I thought, I can't believe we have experienced Christmas and society has said, it's over with. And we begin to move in toward Valentine's. And one of the ladies said to the other, her co-worker there, she said, I don't like Valentine's Day. And I thought, this is going to be good. I wonder what she's going to say. Her sidekick said, well, why don't you like Valentine's? She says, I don't have a husband or a boyfriend to buy me a card or buy me candy. I don't have a husband or a boyfriend that I can give one to. And I thought, that's true. She was not happy about Valentine's Day, but she loved Christmas. So our lives have been filled with joy and excitement and anticipation leading up to Christmas, and suddenly the gift giving, the big meals and everything have been shared and experienced, and here we are. Here we are 4 or 5 days after Christmas, and where are we in all of this? We start thinking about the fact that we've experienced all of these things. Now we get back to the struggles. Now we get back to sensing war in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in Washington, and we see homeless people out begging for monies and food and living in warm places like stairwells. They don't have a place to go. And we're back to those kinds of feelings and those kinds of experiences, but we have to deal with them. Between Thanksgiving and Christmas, we've had our thoughts and our feelings diverted from all of this kind of things. And I thought, you know, after talking and sensing what those ladies at the pharmacy were talking about yesterday, I thought, nothing is as over as Christmas when it's over. Nothing is as over as Christmas when it's over. So here we are, moving into a new year. Here we are, hoping for something new and different to happen. People say, well, we'd like to have Christmas last the whole year. We'd like to have the spirit of Christmas last the whole year. I don't want to have to deal with all the traffic in the malls and the parking lots that we've experienced. And I think about all of the foods that we've had. I don't think we can have our bodies have that kind of intake for a year's time. But the spirit, the giving, the generosity, it's the time that we act most unlike ourselves through the rest of the year. And so here we are waiting. What does it mean for us? What is this? What does it mean that Christmas is over? I think we have to take our lead from Mary and Joseph. Mary and Joseph were not allowed to stay in Bethlehem very long. They had to leave Bethlehem. You remember Joseph had a dream. And in the dream, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, Joseph, get up, take your wife and Jesus and flee to Egypt so that you will have safety, so that you will be there and Jesus won't be killed by Herod. So Joseph got up and took the child and his mother Mary down to Egypt, where they stayed until Herod's death. And that was a time of struggle. They could not stay in Bethlehem. We can't stay at Christmas. We cannot live our lives in the attitude of Christmas, because we have to move forward. There's something that God has in store for us. Now, the Holy Family went to Egypt, and we know in those days that was very difficult. They had to travel by donkey or by foot. They didn't have a nice plush jet plane to fly them down there, but they had hardships. They had very difficult times of going on the journey to Egypt, and yet the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph and said, move. And what did Joseph do? He got up and went. He got up and went. Now that says to me that Joseph had faith in the Almighty God. He had a strong faith in the Almighty God. So what did he do after the baby was born and after the angel appeared to him? He trusted God. He trusted God. And I think that's where we are in our lives with Christmas behind us, 2019. We're looking forward to the future. What is there for us? We have the God of all creation, who is our Lord, whom we can depend on, who we follow, whom we trust. The God of all creation is our Lord and the one that has led us. And he says, in essence, as he said to Joseph, get up and take Mary and the child to Egypt, where he'll be saved. And so that's exactly what Joseph did. He didn't wait. He didn't procrastinate. He didn't say, but God, it's going to be too hard. It's going to be too difficult. It's going to be such a strong thing for us to do, to go all the way to Egypt. No, he got up and went during the night. He took Mary and Jesus. And so whenever we look at where we are, at the same kind of juncture that Joseph was in, he trusted God. He trusted God in the future. Now we have 2020 coming in just a few days. Where we are, We're standing on the verge of moving into a new age, a new time, 2020. Where do we go from here? We go where God leads us. We trust God because He is the one who has created us. Now, we have a life that is certainly a lot better than Mary and Joseph had, but they did it because they loved God and they trusted God without any doubt in their minds. And we know that we can trust God with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind. Now, we've heard through the last few weeks, I suspect, that Pastor Paul has preached on something of the prophecies of Isaiah. At least that's where I look to in getting ready for Christmas, where Isaiah says that whenever the Messiah comes, there will be light, there will be love, there will be a world filled with peace and joy. And here we are. Where is that peace? Where is that joy? Where is that light and that love that the prophet talked about? The world has been changed because Jesus came. There's no doubt about it. But where is it in our lives today? Here we are. Here we are waiting to see and to know what God has in store for us. Jesus, you see, must grow. And Jesus as a baby must mature, and He taught wherever He went. And He taught the people. He taught what it meant that He had come to give life and to give it more abundantly. He taught the ways of everlasting life. He says, I've come you may have life and that you may have it in full and be fulfilled with it. I've come that you may have life everlasting. He's come. And so He taught. He taught wherever He went. And those whom He taught, taught people. And so here we are today. We're being taught from Jesus. And so we're here to teach. Teach that Jesus is the life. Jesus is the way. And He's the truth. And we are here singing about God as Emmanuel. And He's come to live among us and to be a part of us and teach us the way and to live in His way and in His life. So we trust God with all of our hearts and all of our minds. And secondly, we take a lead from Joseph. Joseph cared for those whom he loved, because as soon as he saw and heard the voice of the angels, they to say to go to Egypt, Paul, he took off. Joseph did with Mary and Jesus. And he went there to protect his family, take care of those he loves, take care of them both physically and emotionally, take care of them because he loved them. He loved Mary and he loved Joseph. And I mean, he loved Jesus. And so there was that movement in the life of Joseph to be sure that he cared for those whom he loved. He was able to do this because he was loved by Almighty God. And so here we are today, taking lead from Joseph, trusting God, taking care of our family because of our love for them and listening to them, touching their lives and hearing what they're saying, hearing and knowing their struggles. But also we see that we're here today standing where Joseph stood, being aware of the struggles of people, but he is also wanting us to be able to see how Jesus came into the world, how Jesus suffered in the world for the sake of humankind. So he calls his people, I think, to serve him, to serve his people in this world, to be a part of a community of faith that strengthens each other, to be a part of a community of faith that works where Christ has come into the world to save and to administer and to die for. So here we are standing in God's presence, following His way, knowing and teaching His way to the world. It seems to me that we are living in such a troubled time that the way of Jesus should be known so much a part of us who are Christians, and that those who claim to be Christians have a new life, and this life is some way communicated to a world that does not know, that does not sense the power of Almighty God. I look at our world as it is, and I struggle with seeing people who have the audacity to do what they're doing in the name of God. And Jesus is the way, and here we are. Here we are claiming to be the followers, and I feel like that whenever we come, and if all who claim to be Jesus' followers could live like Jesus and struggle in this world like Jesus struggled, then there would be a change in our lives and in the world around us. I think the world could be changed almost instantaneously whenever God's people come to grips with who we are. So here we are today. Here we are waiting on the Lord to minister to us, and we minister to one another. So in this Sunday, right after Christmas, I'd like for us to realize that we're standing in the place where Joseph stood. He had faith in Almighty God and what was going on in his life. He had faith, and he loved his family, and he took care of them. And here we are today where he stood, that Jesus wants us to care for those for whom he came to live for and to die for. There's so much hurt out there. God sent his Son into the world to bind up those who were wounded, to bind up those who were sick, bind up those who were struggling, to bind up those who were lost, and lead them into the way of life everlasting. So today we're here, and we take our lead from Joseph in where we stand on this day just before the new year begins. We have an opportunity to be the ministry into the world that is in such pain. And we have the opportunity to serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It may be that the only thing we can do is pray. But prayer is one of the most powerful things in all the world that we can do. Pray for the nation of which we're a part of. Pray for our neighbors. Pray for those who are lost. Pray for those who don't know that they're lost. Pray for those who don't know why they're so unhappy. Pray for those who are so lonely and struggling. Pray for those who are worrying about their kids. Pray for those who are walking and not have an idea of where they're headed. Pray for the lonely. Pray for the sick. Pray. Pray for 2020 to be a year that we know that God in Jesus Christ is walking with us. And we have His strength. And we have his courage. And he says, I'll be with you. I'll be with you to the ends of the age and beyond. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you today for your call to us and your ministry to us. Thank you for teaching us so that we can teach. Thank you for loving us so that we can love. Thank you for forgiving us so that we can forgive. Thank you for being with us, and thank you for these congregations meeting today. Challenge us, O God. Challenge us as you've never challenged before, and help us like Joseph. Get up and go. Get up and move. No waiting or wondering, no arguing, no excuse making. But lead us, O God, into the way of life everlasting, For we ask it in the name of our newborn Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Amen. This morning, if you're here and want to come to faith in Jesus Christ, this newborn baby, we invite you to come as we stand and sing hymn number 169, Infant Holy, Infant Lowly. Would you stand as we sing?